In a condo complex in rural Connecticut, there lives a podcast host named John, a 15-year-old student named Kayla, and a young girl named Liza. Liza likes to visit John and Kayla regularly. The only problem? Liza is dead. John and Kayla decided to call in a gifted psychic medium named Karen Hollis. This is their story. Welcome to Episode 3.
Hear the music.
Welcome to the Dead Tribe Paranormal Podcast with hosts John Trina and Kelly Gilbert. Produced by Dan Gilbert. This is Echo Pod Media.
Hi there, this is John. We're Dead Tribe Paranormal Podcast.
I'm Kelly, and we're here today talking with Karen Hollis of Goners and Reading by Karen.
Welcome, Karen.
Well, thanks.
Appreciate that. So, we're putting you to work tonight. So, you're doing a lot tonight. We're here because John's condominium, this whole area, seems to be haunted. He's been seeing ghosts of children, adults. We're going to be talking to a neighbor of his who's a 15-year-old girl. She's been seeing a few apparitions in her house as well. And we're just trying to get to the bottom of this, you know, see if anything's malicious, if anything needs to go away.
Yeah.
And hopefully you're going to figure that out for us. So how do you do it? What is it exactly you do?
Well, Kelly, I'm a medium, and a medium sits between heaven and earth. So when I use my abilities to speak to the dead or hear the dead, I'm using what's called clairaudient mediumship. So I actually hear the dead more than I see the dead.
Okay? Right.
And if they communicate with me, it's usually in symbols or what seems like a little film that runs in my mind, okay, and I'm able mm-hmm. to then kind of see what they're talking about. So think of a medium as somebody who is just able to have a heightened sense of hearing or a thought process, I guess, is what it is with the dead. So they speak through thoughts and symbols.
Okay. And you feel that you have, because we're on the same team, so we know each other.
Yeah, we do.
You've said that you feel you have spirit guides that help you with this, or, you know, I've heard you say somebody is giving you the information on behalf of a spirit.
Right. I'm not sure that I believe in spirit guides so much as, I mean, people call them that.
Right.
I have spirits that work with me and for me that give me the information that I need in order to do the work that I do. So I suppose they guide me in some ways, you know. People like to put labels on things, mm-hmm. like New Agey labels on things, mm-hmm. like spirit guides, you know.
Yeah, buzzword.
Buzzword. Yeah, it's a buzzword. It's a buzzword, you know.
How cool that I just stopped saying that. No.
Yeah, you know, so... how do I do what I do? I think it's the grace of Source, whatever God is to you. You know, it's just my calling. So I can go into a place and flip it on and then, you know, decide is there something here or not, you know.
Right.
So that's what
Here's a question I had and I've always wanted to ask, Karen, was how do you distinguish, you know, the good from the bad if you're just hearing them? How do they come across? Because you said you don't see them. You hear them.
Well, I hear them, but I also feel them, John. So
okay.
Typically, okay, I'll feel the heaviness or presence okay. around me. And if they're quiet, I won't hear them. Just like if you don't speak, I don't hear you, mm-hmm. all right? So it can be equally as scary for me when Ghosts of New England Research Society asked me to go into a creepy house because, you know, I'm just kind of feeling my way around. And typically I'll ask questions in my mind. All right, who's here? Who wants to talk to me? And to your point, how do you know whether they're good or bad? I mean, you know, there are good or bad people that are alive, okay? And there are dead people who are good or bad. Be afraid of alive people with guns, not dead people, okay, first mm-hmm. of all. So I try not to show fear because that's not going to help me out any. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether they're good or bad, to be honest with you, until after I'm interacting with them. I've had belligerent spirits. I've had one spirit that actually went like this and, you know, hit me in the head, and I felt it. And I thought he just point to my head, you know, what is that all about, you know? So, I mean, yeah, I've been touched by spirit and that kind of thing, but never harmed. And that's the only time when I actually was ever, had anything like, you know, kind of go like that to me. So how do I discern what spirit is? I have to interact with it like anything else. So
do they ever try to deceive you in any way? Like coming across maybe as somebody nice just to get in, just to be, have you trust them? And then
I don't trust anybody, John. You know what I'm saying? Like, have they ever tried to deceive me? They have thrown their voice to sound like someone that I know.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Okay. So that I would maybe trust them more. Mm-hmm. But I don't. And so, you know, in St. John in the Bible, it talks about test the spirits to see if they are of God. So, you know, I just discern like I would any normal person with a person that was alive, you know, why are you here? What do you want? Okay. And if I don't get an answer back, then again, a heightened sense of awareness, okay, somebody's up to something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I have like this perfect sight or clairaudient sight where I can say, okay, that's absolutely good or absolutely bad. We go by the evidence at Ghosts of New England Research Society. We go by what we actually catch in terms of voices or on, you know, in person.
Do you find that they love to talk more often than not?
No, what I find is as alive, so dead. So if you weren't a talker in life,
then you're not going to be a talker.
You're not going to be a talker in death. Gotcha. Yeah,
I have always heard that you are who you are in the afterlife. You were on.
I think that's important. Like people don't change very mm-hmm. often. I mean, some might. Okay, mm-hmm. They might have some regrets after they pass away, maybe for you know things that they've done, but others don't. And so you have to assume that if you knew the person when they were alive, they're not going to change much when they're dead. And what makes them want to speak to you is they have a need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if that need is that they want you to know that they're still okay or they're around, they'll let you know that, you know. If it's a stranger in your home, then that's a whole other ball of wax. Typically, what we find, and we were investigating the old Remington typewriter factory.
Right.
Do you remember
yeah,
that, Kelly?
Definitely.
Okay. And there was a time where we all left the cameras, okay, running and put down some powder on the floor. And when we came back, we found there were footsteps walking up to our actual,
wow.
Yeah.
Our actual, wow. You know,
I didn't know
cameras.
That trick actually worked.
Yeah. So we were hunting ghosts and ghosts were hunting us. Okay?
Yeah.
Seeing where we were running all over the factory looking for them and they were watching us on the
monitors that I'm supposed to watch them from.
And I found that absolutely hysterical, you know? So I think it's a game of hide and go seek sometime, you know?
Quite
Let's
possibly,
see how good Karen is. Yeah.
Quite possibly they were the pranksters right. while they were in life.
Yeah.
So,
have you ever communicated with anyone or anything that you don't think was human to begin with? So demons?
You know, Kelly, I'm one of those people. I haven't met a demon, thank God.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank God.
And, yeah, and I'm not saying that they don't exist, and I hope I never meet one.
Yes.
I'm with you there.
But, I mean, you know, when we talk about demons, I think people make too much out of some of the things that happen.
Yeah,
agreed. If that makes sense.
I think that has a lot to do with the TV shows.
Well, yeah, not everything is a demon, mm-hmm. you know, and not everything needs an exorcist. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Now, I think that you have to be rational and reasonable and try not to show fear because I feel like energetically we are what our fears are, right? So
yeah.
We can feed off of fears. And I think you have to document what happens to you and decide, you know, is it something that is happening because of kinetic energy? Maybe you're nervous or you're anxious and maybe, you know, if thoughts are things, you're making this stuff happen. I don't know. You know, you have to be rational. I try and be as rational as possible.
Sounds good to me.
And how does it sound to you? I know you've said before that they talk at a different frequency than us often, so you have to ask them to adjust it so you can even hear their voice.
Right. So if you can imagine that you hear almost like a Minnie Mouse voice,
yeah.
Okay, and sometimes that's what it sounds like to me, okay, a Minnie Mouse voice. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to say in my head, in my thoughts, all right, now slow down, take a deep breath. I can't hear you, okay, because it just sounds like, beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Okay. And that's because they're pure energy. And so, or I'll say, you know, speak up. All right. I need to hear you. I was with a client in my office and I was doing a mediumship session and I couldn't hear the person. They were very quiet in life, so quiet in death. And I said out loud, speak up. And all of a sudden I heard Donald. Right. And my client said, okay, I'm really good with that dead person stuff. I'm good now. I don't need to hear anymore. Okay. But the man's name was Donald. And I was trying to get his name. And so when I said speak up, he meant it, you know, and he used up every bit of energy in the room to do it. I had like Christmas lights and stuff in my cases that are on either side of me. Those went out and my poor client, I think, was harmed for life, you know.
What would you say is the biggest reason people do come to you, maybe and make an appointment? What are they looking for?
Well, I mean, many people they're in deep grief. John, you know, they've lost somebody that they loved, and we all want to believe that people that we love are going to continue on. And we are all looking for something beyond all this. Nobody wants to believe that once they die, you know, the essence of who they are just goes away. And so people come to a medium to reconnect or to validate that what they're experiencing in their homes really is perhaps their mom or their dad or their grandmother or, you know, their son or their daughter. And so that's why, I mean, you know, we do a lot of grief therapy without being a therapist in ways by just listening, okay, to the person and also responding and giving them evidence that people exist, mm-hmm. you know, beyond all of this. At least we try.
Do you think it's a lot about not being able to let go, and they want to reconnect and stay connected that way and maybe keep them here?
Sure, part of it is that, and the other part of it is that some people feel guilty. You know, I should have done more.
Said I love you before, yeah.
Right, unsaid, things that have been unsaid. So, you know, you need to tell people when they're alive, okay, how you feel about them. And if you have a grievance with them, you need to either work it out or say your piece before they pass on and let them say their piece, whatever that is. You know, again, people are people dead or alive, and the time to work it out is not when they can't talk back.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, so that's really important. There are I love yous, and there are I'm sorrys, okay? Sometimes what I'll get is, it is what it is. And, you know, no truer words have been said, right? It is what it is, meaning that we didn't agree, and I have my ideas and you have yours, and, you know, it's okay. There was only one time when I was not able to connect with someone's loved one. And so I asked, like I always do, can I speak with this person by their first name and their birth date? And I was told no. And I thought, well, I don't do no, so, you know, I do this for a living. No isn't going to work for me.
Right.
So I went back to the spirits that work with me and for me, and I said, all right, you need to give me something because no doesn't work. And it was almost like, well, you know, he's in timeout, like that kind of a thing.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, he's unavailable. Right? So I thought,
go to the corner.
I thought, okay, well, no, you have to give me something. And so so I did. I got a name, okay? And they gave me a name, and they said, give this to her, to the lady, and she'll know what this means.
Mm-hmm.
And so the name was Don Lambert, okay? And so I looked at her and I thought, here's like a leap of faith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, they won't give me him, but they say to tell you Don Lambert. And she freaked out, like started crying and said,
oh my gosh.
And said, oh my gosh, you know, that was the name of my biological father. And that was, and my brother who passed was the only person who knew who my biological father was. And so, you know, that was a really powerful moment because it meant that he existed and that he was there. Now, why he couldn't speak, I don't know. I mean, you know, do people have jobs on the other side? Do they have things to do? Are they busy? I would assume.
I've heard that before, you know, from other mediums, that that's a possibility.
It's an interesting speculation as to why I wasn't allowed to do that. And so, you know, I just want to say that, you know, that information is something that is, I'll never forget that name because it was so powerful. And she said, you know, you've proven to me today that my brother exists beyond all of this, because that's the one thing that, you know,
Yeah.
He knew that nobody else did.
That's amazing that you got the first and last name as well, because, you know, a lot of times even, maybe because their voices sound funnier, however it is,
you can only hear certain letters or sounds.
Yeah, you can't usually get a whole name anyway. Yeah, wow. It could be like it's Kelly or Kelsey or Chelsea, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the circumstances were such that I think that when evidence is needed, I feel like the spirits step up, you know? And so that was really a powerful moment in time. And
yeah.
It was neat.
That's going to be an amazing feeling, too, after you've helped them.
Well, it's always a leap of faith, John, you know?
Right.
I know.
She could have said, who's Don Lambert?
I know.
What are you talking about, you know? Yeah, so.
I have sort of a two-part question. So when people hear medium, I know they start to think everything psychic in the world. So I've been out with you. We've gone places to do talks. And one person wants to talk to a dead relative. One person thinks maybe you can tell them their future. I remember somebody said we want to talk to the palm reader. You just speak to the dead, right? You don't see the future or the past. I mean, I guess you see that a little.
Okay, we're talking about a bunch of different things that I can do. Right?
Exactly.
So mediumship is just one thing that I do. It's a very special ability that I have to be able to speak to the dead. So that's one of the things that I can do.
Okay.
All right. I also do what's called remote viewing, and remote viewing is what I do to find missing persons or missing things.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a whole nother skill set. And then if I'm working with people in my office, Kelly, to talk about their lives, you know, I talk about what they've been through. So I can go backwards in time, okay, because time is not linear to a psychic. And that's I feel like psychic is a lower level ability, okay?
Okay.
So I can be psychic. I can just work on that level all day long and never get drained, okay? When I'm working in terms of mediumship, think of it as raising my energy, okay, in order to sit between what we would consider heaven and earth to talk to the dead. So the psychic ability, you can look backwards and you can also look forwards. Now, when a psychic looks forwards to the future, because everybody wants to know their future,
right.
Okay? What I'm seeing is actually the trajectory of the decisions you're going to make, meaning that if you've made those decisions, I'll see pretty much that path of what the decision is going to entail, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you hang a left karmically, you decide that, you know, you no longer want to date Johnny, you want to date Mark, you know, or whatever, and you all of a sudden decide, okay, this relationship's over, you have free will. So I may see that there's an ending, but I may not see whether you hung a left or you took a right.
Okay.
So you create your own reality. You create your own future. You manifest what's going to happen to you. And if you change that manifestation, then I'm going to only see what you put into play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and thank you for that, because I just think it's good for people to hear this, because so many people get confused. Is it all the same thing? Is it different things? Some people can do two things where someone can only do one. I mean, I have people ask me sometimes, you know, oh, you know, Karen, can she do this or that? And I'm like, here's what she does as far as my understanding is. And what you're asking is, it's just different, you know?
Well, if you use a tool, Kelly, like if somebody uses cards or bones or stones or anything that you touch, when you touch those cards, bones, stones, and whatever that tool is, okay, and that reader is reading that tool, all they're accessing is your subconscious mind. So I want you to think about that. You're shuffling the cards into what I call predictable patterns, okay? If I know every pattern the cards can come out in, there's no way that I can be wrong, you see.
Right.
But it's only your subconscious mind, which also includes your hopes and fears and all your desires. So I kind of have to wade through, you know, all those anxieties, and I can see, oh, well, that's how Kelly sees her life, you see, all right? But the psychic part comes in when, say, I shuffle the cards for you as a tool, and I don't have your hopes and fears. So then I'm able to access, okay, what does Kelly have in play? What kind of decisions is she making? Okay, again. And then I'll tell you what I feel the future is going to be. Because again, my hopes and fears are not going to overlay onto your life. I'm just going to tap your energy through your first name and your birth date with your permission. And if I don't have permission, of course, I wouldn't do that. So
okay.
That's how that works. And so that's why I tell people, the roadside gypsies with the, you know, the psychic hand outside.
Right.
Be very careful, because there is no such thing as the gypsy curse.
Yeah.
You can read it.
I just thought it was so funny that time we were on an appearance, and They're like, I want her to read my poem and this and that. And I'm like, what do you know about her? Because yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do that, but I've never seen you do that. And
I can do palmistry. I can do graph analysis. I can do all those things. But, you know, they're all different skill sets.
The spirits that you communicate with, how are they able to see the future and what's going to happen?
What I get from them is many people believe that when people die, you know, it's like, well, my father saw that last Christmas or that last birthday or that last whatever. But the living assume that the dead no longer see the future. And that's just not true. So mm-hmm. we know that. All right. What happens is that perhaps I'll have your dead aunt come in or your dead mom come in. Somebody has passed away, a discarnate spirit, and they'll say, you know, I saw John. He was ripping out the tiles in the bathroom the other day. And, you know, they were Pepto-Bismol pink, so I'm glad he's getting rid of that bathroom, that 1950s bathroom. And I saw him, you know, with the new blue tiles, all right, or whatever. And so they typically talk about things that you're doing now, okay? They'll show up with, like, a paint roller in their hand, mm-hmm. and then I'll see the color on the roller. I'll say, oh, you've been painting your house a certain color, all right? For women, I've seen where they've been shopping, okay, and they're maybe mm-hmm. purchasing, like, bathroom rugs or something like that. And the mother will say, you know, about the daughter, you know, and she had a white rug in her hand, and then she had a, you know, a blue rug in her hand. She decided to buy both of them. And there's no way that I could know that. I mean, I wasn't there. So I believe that the relatives of the dead pop in, see what you're doing presently, okay, and we'll say something about it. As for future, maybe if the baby's going to be born, okay, I might see, you know, that there's going to be a child that's going to be born, and they'll say, you know, they'll blow the surprise and say, ah, it's going to be a boy. Oh. You know, tell them it's going to be a boy.
Yeah, that's the thing I was thinking about when I see things like that, like, tell her it's going to be okay, or tell her this is going to happen with her
So for all
child.
Of you who are having baby showers and don't want anyone to know what your child is, try and keep it under wraps to your dead relatives by not talking about it in the house, because they're listening sometimes, you know. So I don't know that I've had very, very many dead people really talk about the future. In some ways, I almost feel like that's kind of off limits.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they were to tell you what was going to happen, couldn't you change the trajectory
yes.
of that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think some things are fated and some things, like I said, we create our own reality. And so many people feel like they are fated to meet someone, you know, or to experience a particular situation. And so I don't know that they have the power to really always spill the beans on things, if that makes sense.
It makes sense to me.
Okay, John, Karen, while you guys go do your walkthrough upstairs, I'm going to sit down and talk to your neighbor, Kayla, about her experiences. So I'm Kelly of the Dead Tribe Paranormal Podcast, and I want to interview you because I know you've been seeing some ghosts. So you said that you've been seeing them your whole life. This isn't a new thing for you?
Well, I mostly started seeing them when I was around 8.
How old are you now?
I'm 15.
And so this is your second home, right? This isn't the first place you've ever lived?
Yep.
Okay. So you saw them in both homes that you've lived in? You saw apparitions?
I've seen them in both houses.
Okay. How about anywhere else? School?
I have seen them at a friend's house, and I've heard them at school.
You've heard them?
Yeah.
That's creepy. What's that like?
It's really... It's creepy. It's scares me a lot because it's one place I don't want to be hearing that.
And right.
You have people around you. It's not like I can do anything. Oh. I'm just sitting in class.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So, friend's house, school, you're 15, so you haven't had a job yet.
No.
So, yeah, I know. I've never heard them in school. I've had them at my houses. For myself, you know, I've seen them at work. I've seen them or heard them when I was out with friends. So, I think you've probably seen more than I have. I've heard a lot, but I had that happen to me once at work too. I worked in a big office and, everybody of course was like in the other office. So I was sitting there and I heard clicking by the computer. So I looked up and there was this kid, like a teenager, just like playing with the computer, and he was kind of foggy. So yeah, I know what I mean. So that's like weird. Home is bad enough,
yeah.
But so what was the first time you ever heard, like, what was your first paranormal experience?
My first paranormal experience was when I was at my friend's house, and everyone was outside, and mm-hmm. I went to the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw this woman standing behind me.
Oh, no, no.
And I could just describe it perfectly still. She was kind of short with brown hair, with a yellow top on, with blue shorts.
Oh my God.
And I freaked out because there was no one in the house, and I ran outside and I didn't know yet, and I'm telling her I saw this person in her house, and she's just looking at me like I'm crazy.
Oh no.
She's like, "You're fine. Whatever." So.
Oh wow. So none of them had ever had experienced anything?
No. But she did tell me a man and a wife lived there, but only the man ended up moving out.
Hmm.
So.
Oh wow. That's like movie stuff. That's the one thing you don't want to happen. I know, even in this house, I used his bathroom for the first time ever, and I've been here a handful of times, and that's the one thing I'm thinking. I'm sitting there like, John's talking about how, you know, he saw that ghost walk to the bathroom the other day, so I was just thinking about that like an hour ago. I was like, I'm just gonna wash my hands with my head down because I don't want to see that. All right, so that was your first time ever, apparition, and you were about 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then what, did it really start picking up regularly from there?
It did. It's gotten worse since I've gotten older.
Okay. You hear that a lot, sometimes like right into the teens, or sometimes it's the opposite and it diminishes. So what was the second time then?
The second time was when I was actually at a park, and I saw this man with no legs and his head was bloody, and I was freaking out with my grandma, and I was like, we need to help this guy. There's something wrong, and she's like, I don't see him. She's like, there's no one there.
Oh, wow. Holy cow. Do you know anything about that park, or?
No, my dad actually can, like, do the same thing as me, and he saw it years before. He saw a man there.
Oh, my God.
A bloody head. And so then I came home and was talking about it, and then my mom talked to him about it, and then he talked to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I freaked out because, like, I was like, oh, I saw a dead person.
Yeah, and that's like validation too. So you know right there, I mean, it's bad enough to even see that at all. But I mean, if somebody else saw that, your own father, that's pretty definite. Was he like laying on the ground or was it like a floating thing?
It was like a floating thing.
Oh my God.
And I was young. I didn't know what was going on.
It
was
right.
Scary.
Oh my God. You poor thing. So what happens at... And then, like, later, so at school, what will, I guess, so that's fascinating to me. So when you're at school, what happens, or what was the first time?
The first time was, I was just sitting, we were doing our work, and I heard, tell him I'm okay. And I, like, jumped up, and everyone was looking at me, and I was like.
Oh, no. You were, like, the weird kid.
Yeah. And then there was a couple times when, then the second time was, tell him I love him. I'm like, who? I'm like, who are you? What's going on?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you've seen things at home, you hear things. Is it one more than the other? Do you see things more than you hear things?
I see things more than I hear things.
Okay. So now, all right, then the main reason that we're here and that we're meeting right now is because you live in the same complex as John, so co-host of the Dead Tribe Paranormal podcast, and you guys have been having similar stories. So can you talk about, you know, why we're here, what is going on right now?
You're here because I've seen two little girls in the house.
Okay.
And the tall man, but, I see the blonde girl a lot more than I see anybody.
Okay. How old are they?
I'm not sure. I feel like they're more like 7, 9 area.
Okay. Somewhere elementary school.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not friends with them?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure when we were first coming, because you're 15. I wasn't sure if you were younger and they were... little playmates of yours. Okay, so no. So you've just seen them.
Mm-hmm.
When did that start happening?
Like a month after we moved in. Like I didn't see anything for a month. I thought everything was good. I was like, oh, right. Okay, we're away from all that. And then one day I heard, hi, and while I was walking down the stairs. And then one day I walked into my mom's room and I thought my little sister has blonde hair. And I saw a girl standing in the corner. And then my sister's behind me, tugging on me.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing? Let's go downstairs. And then I looked back over, and then she was gone.
So how do you know John?
He knows my mom, and my mom introduced me to him, and he told us about what he's seen and heard about this place.
Okay. How did that conversation start?
I don't know. Just between him and my
okay,
mom.
Just through them, and then she mentioned that you were seeing and hearing things as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask you how you knew. When you see these, when you saw the two spirits here specifically, so the two girls, did they look solid like you and me?
Yeah, they look solid.
Okay, so they don't look like ghosts.
They look like a person.
Okay, and they interact with you?
No, not really. They just kind of stand there.
And then you turned around and she was gone?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen them just disappear in front of your eyes at all?
Yes, the girl with the brown hair. She was just walking and then just disappeared one day. And
wow.
I've only seen her like once or twice. She's not around as much as the girl with the blonde hair.
Okay. And how about the tall man?
I've seen him like 3 times. It's usually like when I sleep in the living room, I see him. That's the only time I've ever seen him.
Oh, okay. Is he like staring at you or doing his own thing?
Yeah, he'll just like stand like, you see this thing? Stand in the corner and just stare.
That's great.
Yeah. I've only seen, like, he's just a black figure. I haven't seen, like, him.
Oh,
just,
okay.
Like, a really tall, skinny man.
Oh, okay. And I've seen that, too. One of my houses, it was like that. I was just going to bed, like everyone said. So you know you're not asleep yet. And my stepdad had come up the stairs, and I heard him. He'd gone down the bathroom, down the hall. And so he's walking by, and I thought, you know how when you're just walking by rooms, you just, you know, check in on people? Mm-hmm. I thought it was him just doing that, and I could just see the shadow. Yeah. But then he didn't move, and I was like, that's, you know, he doesn't normally, like, stand in my doorway forever. And then I heard him downstairs coughing, so I was like, oh, my God, like, there's just the shadow, and it's definitely not him. Have you tried to talk to them at all?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever talked back to any apparitions you've seen?
No.
Okay. Have you talked to anybody else? So your dad about these abilities or anyone you know?
My aunt, she does like the same thing. We kind of just talk about what we've seen and stuff.
Okay, so it really just goes right down the family.
Yeah.
That's your dad's sister?
No, it's my, she's actually my cousin. She's my mom's side.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
You guys just all have it. Has your mom seen anything?
Yes, she's seen the little girl, the blonde girl.
Okay, and your dad has seen them too at this house?
My dad doesn't live here. He lives in Somers.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's crazy. So let me ask you, I thought I had heard a story that a girl, one of the apparitions, had shown you where she was buried?
We, like, think she was buried there. My friend Lena used to live here with us, and her and I can do the same thing. We talked about how we've seen her, and we feel like she's buried back there. And we were walking one day, talking to each other, and both just stopped. We weren't even talking to each other, didn't say anything. We both just stopped and was like, there's something here.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It freaked us both out because we were just walking. We weren't even like communicating about like stop here or something. We just both just stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely seems like something. And she lives in the same complex?
Yeah, she used to. She just moved.
Okay. Do you know how many other people? Do you have a lot of friends around here that have talked about seeing any of these?
I know her and her mom have. Her mom's friend who lived next door saw it. Her son saw it. They say a bunch of the kids around here have seen them, the little girl. And I have.
Wow. And nobody's talked to them or played with them? They just...
No. They just see them.
Just walking, standing, sitting. Yeah. Okay, so you're not the only one at the house seeing it. You and your mom have both had some experiences. What was the experience your mom just had last week?
The experience we had last week was I was in the kitchen. She was in the living room with her boyfriend, and we both heard mom, and she said, what? And I was like, that wasn't me. I was like, I heard that too, but I didn't say it.
Oh, wow. Was it a girl's voice or a boy?
It was a girl's voice. It sounded like a little girl's voice.
Okay, so around that same age, that 7, 8, 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really incredible. So, Karen, I see you working your way back over here. So, Kayla, thank you so much for coming over and talking with me about everything that's been going on. Karen's done with her walkthrough, so I'm going to have her sit down with you now, and she can give you her impressions, and then John, and let's see what we can do for you guys from here.
So, Michaela, when you sense the little girl around you, did you see her with your eyes or did you hear her?
I've seen her and I've heard her.
Okay. So she shows up. She showed up in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. And where else again?
In my mom's room, and I've seen her in my basement.
Okay. That must be pretty startling in the basement, right?
I have like a hangout room in the basement. Okay. So, but it's creepy.
Okay. And is she wearing different clothing when she shows up, or does she wear the same clothes?
She's like in a white nightgown.
Okay, so every time she's in that same white nightgown. Okay. Has she ever shown up in your dreams when you're sleeping?
No.
Because sometimes ghosts will do that. They'll show up in your dreams because they know that your conscious mind goes to sleep and your subconscious is really open to it. So I guess she doesn't want to freak you out then, huh? You said your friend can do this as well. She felt the same spot where the girl was buried, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Has she seen her?
Yeah, she's seen her a lot.
Okay. And you feel like that's, you know, she's kind of going back and forth? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense, you know. So, I mean, if there's no communication, real communication between the two of you, you never know when she's going to show up, right?
Yeah.
All right. What do you think she wants? What do you think, I mean, aside from just a family, do you think she wants to go somewhere else, or do you think she just wants to fit in amongst the living? I mean, any clue? You said she wants a family.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll communicate that they're unhappy or whatever. When you're around her and you feel her, do you feel happiness, sadness?
I feel sadness.
Okay. Have you or your friend caught a cold, or did you get a cough, or do you ever feel drained when she's around? Okay, so you feel more tired?
Yeah.
Okay. The only reason I ask is that if you have a real ghost in the room and they, you know, they need energy to show up like that. So, you know, they'd have to be drawing it off of you or other things. Any batteries go dead or television shut off or things happen in your house like that? Any electronic equipment? Phone ring, nobody's there? I mean, things like that?
Apparently my mom said the doorbell rang and no one was there.
Oh, so she wants to say, like, open the door, I'm here, huh?
And doors open and close.
By themselves, okay. All right. I kind of sense that, like, things go disappearing. Like, you'll look for something and then something disappears and comes back. Is that about right?
Yeah. Like, one time I remember I had my makeup all out on my
face. I was going to say your eyeshadow palette went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it anywhere. And so went to school, and it was back, like, a couple of days later, it was back where I put it.
Right. They call that an apport, when a spirit takes something and then puts it back. Okay. I kept seeing nickels or some kind of change that, like, goes missing and comes back. Are you finding nickels?
Well, I find change all over my floor all the time.
Yeah, I kept getting that there was nickels or some kind of dimes or something going on over there. Yeah. Like, playing games with that, you know. That's pretty interesting. You also have a flowered key to the house, or your key to the house has a floral pattern on it. Which key has, like, a floral pattern? Or I keep seeing flowers and a key. So do you have a key to the house that has a different pattern on it than a normal key? Does your mom
have a key that has Tweety on it.
Okay, it has something else on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's yellow on it, and I thought that was a flower or something, okay. Because I kept hearing her say something along the lines of, like, she messes with your key, or the key doesn't always open the door or something like that. Is that true?
Yeah, it's to my old house. It's
to your old house?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you see her in the old house by any chance? You didn't sense her in the old house?
No.
But she knows the key doesn't fit in the door in this new house. Okay. So did the key go missing, or you keep it in the top pocket? You keep it in a zippered pocket somewhere.
It's in one of my drawers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have it in a pouch or something? Or?
Yeah, it was in a makeup bag.
Yeah, because she knows it's in a zippered pouch is what I heard her say. Okay. All right. So, I don't get that this person's going to create a problem for you, really. It's just, it's kind of a nuisance having somebody show up and then not show up like I dream a genie, right? Yeah, kind of. What questions do you have for me about ghosts? Anything in particular?
I don't know how to shut it off at sometimes. Like, if I'm at school and I'll hear stuff, I don't know how to...
Shut it down?
Yeah.
Well, just like anything else, you can't walk around just like, whoop, whoop, you know, feeling everything, right?
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is to just say, okay, that's not for now, and I've got to concentrate on what I'm doing. And you just tell the dead, you know, don't bother me. Just like if your friends came up to you, you know, on the playground or somewhere, you know, or in the library or wherever, and they wanted to bother you, like, you know, hey, right? So you just tell them to stop, you know, and before you go to bed, you say, you need to respect my sleep. You know, please don't just show up to me because that's not what I want, you know, and tell them if they have a specific message, you want to know what that is. Okay. Yeah. All right. Also, there's a bangle or there's some kind of a bracelet that apparently is underneath something. Did you miss a bracelet?
Yeah, I couldn't find my Tiffany bracelet.
Okay. And did you find it yet?
Yep, it ended up underneath my table.
Yeah, she just told me underneath your table. Okay, so I know I've got her here. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah, no, she's not trying to hurt you. She's not trying to scare you. She's just sort of around. Okay, yeah. So I think you have a very special gift. You're a very special young lady, so that's pretty cool, you know. But, you know, she needs to respect your space and not drain you. And so you need to basically say to her, you know, you need to decide what you want to do. You want to go find your mom or that kind of thing, right? Yeah. She keeps talking about a brother. So do you have a little brother?
I have a little sister.
Okay, you have a little sister. But there's somebody that you call, like, your little brother. Is this, like, your friend's sibling? Or she keeps showing me a little boy. I don't understand this. Is there a little boy around when she's around? Or do you ever see a little boy?
No.
Somebody named Jackson or Jack? Not Kurt's son, Jack.
No, Zach.
Zach.
Yeah. That's her. I have a brother, Zach.
Oh, okay. All right. Zach, not Jack. Zach. Oh, okay. All right.
No,
and he's big. He's not little.
He's 21.
Oh, all right. She says he likes to play jokes, or he can be sarcastic with jokes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly found in the kitchen making food, she says. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she knows a lot about your family, for sure, you know. That's kind of cool. That's really all I have, you know, on her. But, I mean, I don't get that she's going to create any harm for you, you know. Is there somebody named Suzanne or Susan? Who is that to you?
I have an aunt, Sue, but...
Is she alive or dead, honey?
She's alive.
She's alive, okay. And she had some health problems, and she's better now? Suzanne or Aunt Sue?
That was weird. Maddie was talking to my friends yesterday saying that my Aunt Sue was sick and died.
She's not going to die, but she does have something, and apparently she's going to be okay, according to the little girl.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Okay, I think that's all I have in terms of questions for you.
I'm Michaela's mom, and she's had interesting things happen since she was really, really little, and one of the first things where I got a little taken back was she went to the Ellie McKnight Museum in Ellington. I think it was kindergarten or first grade, and she was really, really upset about the lady, the old lady in the house with the stomach ache, and she wanted to leave. And I found out after that the Ellie McKnight in Ellington did die of stomach cancer, but it was a few years later. And then she used to talk about seeing a young man in the house, in my old house, with longer hair. And she had said that for years, and we went to my grandmother's a few Thanksgivings ago. He had died in a car accident at 21, probably when I was 5, so maybe 35 years ago. And my grandmother had put his high school picture out for a senior year photo, and she saw the senior year photo, and her face turned sheet white, and that was a person she'd been seeing for many, many years since she was little.
So... back to the story we were talking about the little girl, I was told by a few people that she's not like fully white. She might be a mix. She might be Native American. She has dark hair, shoulder length. Now, I don't know if you have seen her or you're just hearing her.
I haven't seen her, but okay. My sense of it is her mother had Native American, her mom.
Okay.
And I'm getting the chill, so I know I'm right about that. So the mother was Native American.
Okay.
And that's part of it.
She's also been seen now. There's a few things been happening at work. Inside the office, I was answering the phones. People were calling, and I had a friend sitting next to me, and I'd pick up the phone and talk to the member that was calling. And above us are tiles, the ceiling tiles. One was missing. It's like cut in half, and it's missing, so you can see the steel way up. And I'm on the phone with a member, and my friend is looking at me, and I'm talking to the member, and then she just starts crying, and she's holding her mouth. And I get off the phone, and she said, what's wrong? And she said, I just saw her. She's peeking through the tile, looking down on you, smiling. And I said, oh my God, I got the chills. But she described her as short, brown, shoulder-length hair, and she had, like, pajamas, almost, like a nightgown pajamas sort of thing. And she said, John, she said, she's a beautiful, beautiful girl. She said, but she's probably like 8 or 9 years old. And now she's seen her a couple times there. So I'm wondering, does she follow me to work too? Is it a different person maybe?
No, I think it's the same little girl, but I don't think she follows you to work all the time. I think there was a curiosity factor there. And what I got was almost like giggling, like,
yep,
like kind of looking down through the tiles and then being like, you know, and then looking down through the tiles and then, you know, again. Yeah, and just trying to figure out what, you know, all right, so what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, who are you? What do you do? That kind of thing. The other thing that that I think happens is she's got one doll, and this doll has yarn hair, okay? And it has like a, almost like a Raggedy Ann doll, but not really, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cloth doll, okay,
mm-hmm,
that she had. And that's like the one prized possession, okay? I feel like she was buried with this doll. And for whatever reason, you know, she carries it with her, or she has it with her. That's like her one possession. So I can give you that, okay? And that was made for her by like a grandmom, like her mother's mother, all right? So that I know. But I don't think she follows you every day. I think that's a one-time experience.
Okay. And the other thing is there, was there a father in her life? Or was it just the mom?
Just the mom.
Just the mom.
Which is why, because you take care of your children,
that's
and you're a
why.
Single parent, okay, she's intrigued by the fact that you're a good dad, because she doesn't remember her father. And so this is kind of a... an attachment to you, hence the
makes me sad.
The daddy,
yeah.
Okay, it's the daddy, okay, and so I am getting the chills, so I know that I'm right about that too. Yeah,
yeah, that makes me sad. I love kids. I mean, I think that was one of the first things you got when Kurt had talked to you, is just how I am with my kids, but just confirming that nothing's bad and that she's here for good reasons. And
yeah, well, I feel like she had a good mom. I mean, I don't think that her mom was neglectful in any way. I just got the impression that, you know, would have liked to have had the father, okay? And I got the father, like, was passing through or was a drifter or a wanderer, okay? And she was born to the mom, but really never knew the father. So that's why. So, you know, we can have compassion for another spirit that walks the earth, but I don't get that there's anything bad or she would ever do anything to your children or anything like that. It's just a curious thing,
mm-hmm,
if that makes sense.
Is it wrong for me to ask about why she passed so young?
My sense of her passing is there's some kind of trauma to the head from what I can understand, but I don't get why, okay? And it's an accident, so it's not like somebody abuses her or murders her or anything like that. And that's my sense of it. But, you know, she was not an unhappy child, okay?
Good.
That wasn't, it's not like living some, you know, horrible life and then, you know, having that happen. So trauma to the head is what I got.
That's good. So if we can talk to her one more time, I did have a question about handprints.
Okay.
They were ending up on my girlfriend at the time's bed. And
okay.
I was wondering if she was following me to the house or that was somebody else.
I think it's somebody else. I don't think it's her. I don't, because I feel like the handprints are smaller than what would be her hands. That's my sense of it anyway. Yeah. Okay.
So she just stays here typically. Just in this neighborhood.
Well, here and in the complex. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So certain houses.
Okay. Is she here with us?
That I can't confirm because I feel like I'm getting this information from
somebody else.
Like it's an adult giving me this information at this point in time. But let me see. Also, I kept hearing the name Tom or Todd, okay? Is this somebody that's a friend of yours or that comes and goes?
My son had a friend where we used to live, Todd, and they were really close with him, but we moved away. And now he lives in Stafford.
Okay, so I feel like this girl has been around you since your son had the friend Todd. This is somebody who's been like around your son for a little while. So I don't know that she's necessarily attached to this particular property. Like I said, it may be that she knew of this or she lived in this area. But I think you picked her up a long time ago.
Do you think it was from the investigating that I did?
No, it was from a home that you stayed in. It was an older home, had really dark wood.
Yep.
Your son's room was very dark wood, and you tried to put up like posters on the walls or something to kind of brighten it up. I kept getting a dark wood room.
I wonder if that's...
Had long windows, she said.
Where we used to live. I know I grew up in a house in Vernon it was a really old house, but my sons weren't there at the time. But the last place I lived was built in the 70s, and they had their own room, and they were big windows.
Big windows. Big almost windows. Look like Victorian, like windows. Big windows. Big. Right. So I know that this particular spirit has been around since then.
Wow. That's a long time.
Well, I mean, I think spirits can attach to families. I mean, just because they like the feel of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I also get the impression that there was a question of twins, okay? Like you wanted twins, or there was a joke about twin girls. Yeah, I'm going to have twin girls, or I'm going to have twins. So talk to me about when you had your children. With our luck, we'll have twins, or...
Yes.
Okay, that's what... There was a lot of talk about.
Because of financial reasons, we were hoping and praying that it wasn't. We wanted a healthy baby, but we didn't want twins.
Yeah, because what I got was, wishing either for twins or not for twins, that kind of a thing, okay? And then like, oh, wow, it's a boy. How cool is that? Also, the name Andrew. So did somebody have a little boy named Andrew, or did somebody want you to name your son Andrew?
When I first got married, we moved to Ellington, and my ex-wife and our neighbor had kids around the same time, and their first son was named Andrew.
Andrew, okay, because I heard Andrew. I wasn't sure if that was what you were going to name your son or what that was all about.
We tried to stay with the J's.
Okay, gotcha. So. All right. So this spirit has been around since Andrew.
Okay.
Okay, if that makes sense. But nothing malevolent, would never hurt anything. Also, I kept feeling like beads that fell on the floor and trying to find the beads. So I don't know if your ex-wife had like a necklace with beads on it, but I keep hearing beads falling onto the floor, like ping, 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 or marbles, beads.
She was involved in that jewelry company, Leah Sophia.
Okay.
So there's a chance that that did happen because she had all the jewelry at the house.
Okay, because I feel like I keep hearing like these beads dropping all over the floor, okay? And this little girl like dancing around like, oh yeah, that's really cool, like picking up the beads, right?
But not helping to clean up the
beads. Yeah, not helping to clean up them.
yeah. So for whatever reason. So I just get playful. I mean, the reason why she's giving me that that thought form is like playful, okay?
Okay.
Also, I saw like at Christmas time it shows like stockings hung up, okay? And then one that keeps falling down, or the stockings keep coming down.
Because they were only taped.
Oh, okay. So
they did fall down.
Yeah. And this is like wishing I had a stocking up there, you know? Like, I wish they knew about me and I had a stocking up there, okay? But the stocking's always falling down.
Okay.
So, you know, so this spirit's been around and it's okay. I don't think it came from the investigations. I do think it was attached to the property with the long windows. And then came here and just sort of skips through to see what's going on.
In each unit,
you know. Some units better than others, comes back. So
that's good to know. Now you don't have to feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Like you picked it up or anything. So do you know all the spirits that are around here? Do they know each other and interact with each other at all?
No, I get like certain ones interact with each other and others, it's like an overlay, Kelly. So in other words, they may not know of each other.
Right.
Like different time frames or an overlay. I don't understand how it works, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, when I ask, I get no, like... Cool. So, anyway. Any other questions, John?
That's it for me.
Yeah. So yeah. Does that help you for validation?
It does. Like I said, my biggest concern was the kids. I don't want the kids ever being afraid to be in their own house. I always felt guilty, like it was my fault. That they're seeing this stuff. And I told them before you got here that I would always, I'm harder on myself because I never want to put them in a situation where they are scared. I always want them to be okay with everything, feel safe.
Okay.
And that's my biggest worry. And I know that people have said the reason they're attracted to you is because of the way you are as a father. I'm just overprotective of them. And,
well, that's why the spirits are drawn to you, is because you're overprotective of your kids. So why wouldn't a child want to be with you? Because you'd be protective of them.
Yeah.
I think when dad's okay, everybody's okay.
Okay.
So, you know, that's part of it, is if you get all anxious about it,
yeah.
They feed off of you. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, if dad's anxious about it, then I need to be anxious about it. So
yeah.
The more normal you make it, the better off it's going
to
be.
So what would be your response if they came to you and said, hey, I just saw something in the kitchen?
I would say, oh, okay, well, thank you for letting me know. You know, that's good. Dad needs to know these kind of things, you know. Were they smiling at you, or did they want to play with you?
Well, he said his name. The little girl said, Jacob.
Okay.
And then...
So you should probably school them and just say, you know, well, if somebody calls your name... tell them that you can't play right now and that, you know,
okay.
You appreciate it, but you got to go to bed.
Okay.
Just like a friend, like, showed up at the door,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Don't make it out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Make a big deal.
Like, yeah, that happens, and, you know, I prefer that they don't play with you, you know, and just tell them that, you know, they need to not do that.
Okay.
Know? That's all.
That's perfect. That's what I'll do.
Calm, submissive. Like, you know,
just
the dog whisper. Just
yeah.
Calm.
And,
you know?
And I do tell them, and I always, and it seems like it's gotten better. And ever since I came in here one day and I knew that they were here, how many, I don't know how many were here, but I just said, listen, please don't show yourself to my kids. That's all. That's all I'm asking. Because it scares them. They don't know enough. And ever since then, it's been...
Right. It's just like if a stranger showed up at your door, you set the rules. This is your house. Don't do that. Stop it. You know? And usually they'll respect it, you know? I mean, or bedtime is 8:00. That's it. No more talking at that point in time, you know?
No
more communication. No more talking. No more anything, you know? And, you know, don't just show up.
Do you know why this... Are you recording?
No.
Okay. Well, the other day... 2 weeks ago, I was sitting here, and the girl I was dating was sitting here. We were having coffee. The kids were in the other room, and we were talking, and the TV was on, and I bent down to pet, I think, the cat at the time, and I heard, Daddy. And I tried to ignore it, because it didn't sound like my kids at all.
Okay.
And I looked at her, and she goes, you heard that, didn't you? It was loud, like Daddy.
Right.
Do you know if, like, she's, like, looking at me like that?
Well,
or is there something that I need to do to help her? Maybe I can help her move on, or...
My feeling about it is just acknowledgement, that's all. Just that this spirit is around.
Okay.
But, I mean, I can tell you that there was one time in my old house where I would hear, Ma, and I would run into my daughter's room, and I would look, and I would think that she was little, and she sat up at night, you know, and I would be like, I wonder if Aaron's okay, and I would look, and she'd be sleeping, I'd think, okay, you know, everything's cool, And then I just thought maybe I wasn't catching her sitting up, you know what I'm saying, and saying, Ma, okay. And then one time she was at my mother's house, and my husband and I were doing bills. We were sitting at the kitchen table, and we both heard, Ma, and he looks at me and goes, can you do something about that? That, like, starts to freak me out. I'm like, you're hearing that? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, why didn't you say something? He's like, I don't know. I just ignore it.
I told him that this afternoon.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. Aaron's over my mother's house. And he's like, yeah, that's why I knew it was, like, something that you should do something about.
That's
like,
so oh, God. Awesome.
I remember he was talking about it, like, last Christmas party, and I told him that this afternoon. I'm like, yeah, Mark's heard it a couple times.
Yeah,
and Aaron.
But it was throwing Aaron's voice.
Yeah.
So it sounded like her voice. And it was saying, yeah, Ma. But it would go, Ma, you know. And so, it was at that point that I just said, all right, you know, this is enough. Okay, enough. We used to put our laundry on the washer and dryer, and then it would end up on the floor. All right, and then I put it back on the washer and dryer, and then it would end up on the floor. Finally, I said, all right, enough. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you leave it on the damn washer. And I heard, and I'm like, I thought it was in the washer. I'm like, looking in the washer, looking in the dryer. I'm like, knock that shit off, you know, get out of here. And it went away. So, you know, don't be more aggressive with it. This is your home.
And lately, that's the way it's been. And to the point now where I was getting frustrated, I'm like, you know, and I would maybe throw a curse word out there every so often. And then my friend, like I was telling you, the one from Missouri, said she doesn't like when you're upset or angry. She likes your quirkiness
mm-hmm.
and your playfulness. But there's a time and a place. And my thing is, I want her to... Her and the little boy to understand that there is a time and a place. And when the boys are here, it's not the time or the place.
So just say it out loud one day when you're here by yourself and it should be fine, you know?
Okay.
They'll get the picture, you know? It's your house. Toss them out.
Okay.
Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't mind having her here as long as she can respect, you know, my time with my kids and not frighten anybody. So I needed you here tonight because I told you when you first got here, and this was off camera, that I was feeling like I failed as a father. Only because of the investigating, I thought I was bringing stuff into my home. I never want to put my kids in a situation where they have to worry, where they have to be stressed out. You know, I'm just being overprotective. So I thank you so much for making me feel a lot better about it. And that whatever is here is not bad, and they just like who I am as a person. And again, thank you.
You're very welcome,
yeah,
John.
I really appreciate that.
I mean, I think as ghost hunters, we need to be vigilant about things like this because, you know, we don't know what we pick up.
Yeah,
it could come up with anyone.
But remember what I said: be afraid of alive people with guns, not dead
you
people.
You got that right.
I got it.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts as a medium.
So
and a ghost hunter.
Yeah. So thank you again.
You're welcome.
And. That's it, Kelly.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I'll see you on our next Ghost Hunt.
Kurt,
yes,
Dan, thank you. We appreciate it.
So I have a favor to ask you. We recently just put up the website, got on iTunes, and put up our Facebook page. So we're just starting to gain listeners because we literally just got started. So if you could like us on Facebook, give us a great review on iTunes, sign up for our email list on our website, it would be really helpful if you want to keep this content going. It's all in the show notes. Thanks again, and we'll see you on episode 4.
Transmitting. Hello?